From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
Oh, don't think I didn't want to. Sitting right there on Hulu right now as we speak. Episode 4 of Shogun. Probably gonna have to wait until this weekend to watch it, just because you can't watch that show with the kids running around. Too much swearing, even if a lot of it is in Japanese. Oh yes, Mr. Rob Roop, thank you very much. It is me, it is Mike. Mike Davidson Lives is the name of the podcast. Thank you for listening, hanging out for the next half hour or so. Always appreciated. Yeah, episode 4 sitting right there. Gonna check that out. There's a meme floating around on the internet, of course. And it's basically, you know, 4 different pictures from different movies, and it's white dudes after they watch the first 3 episodes of Shogun. And they're all from, like, famous movies. And one of them is Chris Farley from Beverly Hills Ninja. I don't think I'm quite big enough to pull off the Chris Farley look. But, yeah. It's a show about samurai. Yeah, and I would be dumb enough to dress as a ninja. But, again, looking forward to eventually seeing that 4th episode. Let's see. Kids. You know, they love spending time with me, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes they do. Next week, book fair at school, and wife says, since you like to read books and such, not just comic books, mind you, actual books with words and stuff in them, take the girls and possibly the boy to the book fair at the school next week. And my wife was, I thought this was kind of weird. She was asking me, what were book fairs like when I was a kid? And I vaguely remember them. Basically, you went and got a couple of paperbacks and a big Ferrari poster and called it a day. She went to a Christian school down in Kokomo. So there's only really one book they were allowed to read. Well, they had some textbooks too, but they didn't have any of the other books that a lot of public schools would that host book fairs. And I just say, yeah, it's basically just like a little mini bookstore without the coffee shop. But the kids are excited about that. And my wife is actually excited for our next date night. She's got the snacks planned out, the beverages. She wants me to sit through The Faculty with her, the 1999 horror movie written by Kevin Williamson, directed by Robert Rodriguez, and universally panned. And the reason why she wants to do it, because she listens to this podcast, We Hate Movies, and they'll dog on bad movies. That's why they call it We Hate Movies. You know, they're movie nerds sitting through movies that they don't like. And she got a kick out of them ragging on this movie she watched as a youngin', so, okay, we're going to watch it back and dog on ourselves, I believe. Hey, shout out to the great Daryl Strawberry, 62 years old this week, and still with us. Day before his birthday this week, he had a heart attack. Had to be rushed to the hospital, and they put a stent in his heart, and it looks like he's going to make a pretty decent recovery, but some scary stuff there for the straw man. And Greg Gumbel, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's going to have less of a role in the NCAA tournament coverage this year. They're saying family health issues. So somebody in his family not feeling too well. But I was astonished when I read this. He's 77. Greg Gumbel. Greg Gumbel, I know, is up in years, but I didn't think he was that old. 77? Well, here's hoping that things get resolved in his home, and he's with us for quite a while, because between him and Greg, or no, between him and Bryant, he's Greg. Greg is the better sports broadcaster of the two. And this is one of those things, ladies, if you're listening, you are late 30s, early 40s, get your girls checked out, your boobs. Olivia Munn, actress, former girlfriend of Aaron Rodgers. Well, I think we got something about him in the stack here in a second. Oh, boy. But unfortunately, last year, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, had 4 operations, including a double mastectomy. It looks like she's on the mend, but they were saying it was a very aggressive form of breast cancer, and that she caught it in time, and they were able to do more. So, again, the older you get, please get screened for various things. Ladies, boobs, guys, prostate. Got it? Yeah, I gotta get the prostate checked too. R.I.P. Eric Carmen. Pretty famous torch singer. Ballads all by myself from the 70s. A few hits in the 80s. Yeah, they were slow songs and everything. He died this week, but he was the front man for basically a one-hit wonder rock band, the Raspberries, Go All the Way, and that is a banger. If you've watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, that is in the movie. It's on the soundtrack. Great song. If it's not on your playlist, go get it, download it. But if you are a torch ballad type, you know, I won't judge you too much, but he was a great singer. And he's no longer with us, so condolences to his family and such. Okay, quick follow-up on the Oscars here. Oppenheimer. I went on about Christopher Nolan, because I am a fan, about how it was great to see him get his due. 7 trophies, including Best Picture, Best Director, and just a flat-out great film. And how he made it for under $100 million. It was $100 million, and it grossed about $960 million worldwide. Not bad for a movie that was finishing perpetually second this summer. But it made a lot of money, and he reined in cost. And you know what? It was pretty much the antithesis of what The Flash and Dial of Destiny and a lot of these bloated so-called box office blockbusters were supposed to be. They didn't make any money. A lot of them lost money. But those movies are like $250, $300 million. Godzilla Minus One out of Japan won Best Visual Effects Sunday night outside of the Hollywood system. They had a budget of $15 million. Now, granted, it's a movie about a giant lizard, and it probably wasn't going to win Best Screenplay. But the fact that this movie that was budgeted at $15 million more than made up those costs and won Best Visual Effects at the Oscars tells you everything that's wrong with Hollywood. They're just throwing money at the screen, hoping we're dumb enough not to notice how bad the movies are. Godzilla won. Oppenheimer won. I mean, Barbie was the biggest movie of last year. But even by comparison with some of those movies that I listed that bombed, I think they had like a $130, $140 million budget. And that's relatively cheap, all things considered. More money does not make the movie better. You know, Godzilla, $15 million. Disney, hey, we sunk $200 million in Secret Invasion and some of these other crap Disney Plus Marvel shows. Nobody's watching them. Speaking of which, when does that come out? This weekend or next week? X-Men 97, which I've been very cautiously awaiting. I'm a fan of the old cartoon from back in the day because I grew up with that. Their showrunner, Bo DiMaio, has been canned. I think he was just canned Tuesday. No word yet as to why he was fired. This is the guy who is the big-time producer for this cartoon, X-Men 97, coming out in 2024. But there has been, I don't know, either there's some personal controversy with this guy that we don't know about, some bad stuff, and I'm not going to speculate, or the reviews from people that have seen this show and comparing it to what it's like out there with the audience, what the audience expects. It's not meeting expectation. And you have a cartoon, by the way, called X-Men 97. You have a character on there called Morph, who identifies as non-binary. And that's a 2024 term. And we're talking about, that term didn't exist in 1997. So they might as well just call this X-Men 2024 for the modern audience. But I don't know how bad things are. I guess we'll find out next week when the show drops on Disney Plus and if I can sit through it. By the way, kind of sticking around with bad Hollywood and comic book properties, Michael Keaton was interviewed recently. And, you know, he's he was Batman, and I thought he was great as the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming. But he makes an appearance in Morbius, and nobody knows why. Not even Michael Keaton. He asked the filmmakers, okay, why am I in this thing? Well, okay, here's the thing. We don't know. Okay, let's run with it. I mean, he was going to get paid regardless, but we gave so much shit to Gwyneth Paltrow for not knowing that she was in Spider-Man Homecoming, because I guess with Marvel, you know, when they were shooting scenes for Spider-Man, they were also shooting scenes for the Avengers, so maybe she thought she was shooting a scene for the Avengers movie. Okay, and she was only in it for like one moment. And we gave her crap for this. But seeing that Michael Keaton said, yeah, not even the producers of Morbius, not even the director of Morbius could tell me what the hell was going on and why I'm in this movie. That seems to be a bigger problem with Hollywood. They're just, it's really bad. It's really bad when they don't even know what they're doing with certain characters. Okay. I saw these comments from Lily Allen. She was a big-time pop star in the UK back in the early 2000s, I think, 2006, 2007. She was big over there. She may have had a song or two chart here, never quite the Taylor Swift level, the Beyoncé level. But she has since had kids. And she said in this recent interview that she loves her kids, but she blames them for her pop career falling apart. You know, and she was lamenting how she could not have everything. You can't have everything in this life. And I think a lot of young people, the older they get, realize that. And she's almost got this, but the fact that she's blaming her kids for her pop career falling apart, just bullshit to me. It's contemptible. It's the mark of a narcissist. Here's the thing, you know, she is about 15 years older than she was when she broke out on the scene. No, she's probably a little older than that. And I know it's not nice to talk about a lady's age and everything, but the thing about pop stars, the thing about big time musicians is eventually they age out. Because they get older, their audience gets older, and the younger audience gravitates to a star or a musician that's their age. It's a relatable thing, a relatability thing. Okay? So even if she did not have her kids, she would still not be as big as she thinks she should be. Okay? Now, everybody has a bit of narcissism in them. Everybody's a little bit self-centered because, let's face it, you are around you most of the time. And how that doesn't drive you insane is a miracle. I know because I have a little bit of it. I mean, why the hell else would I, you know, set aside time to do a podcast and all that? But I was also in radio for well over two decades. Commercial radio for about two decades. Well, not over two decades, but just about two decades. And for 5.5 years, I hosted a show in the afternoon here in Fort Wayne, 98.9 The Bear. And I loved doing it. And that to me, like getting up, preparing for the show, interacting with the audience was fantastic. But like most radio personalities, my career didn't end the way I wanted it to. It was abrupt. It was heartbreaking. But I tell you one other thing. If my wife was not there in my corner, and my kids weren't there for me, I would be a total wreck. Because I would have had nothing. In fact, I'll bring it up a little back before, you know, when I was down in Kokomo for a while. I was very career-oriented, and I was very nervous about the idea of having a family because I thought, there were times I thought it would get in the way, right? And then looking back, it was a very stupid thing to think. I'm glad I don't think that now, but I slowly warmed to the idea that I could be more than a radio person when I met my wife. I did. And in fact, she was the one that pushed me to reach out to Matt Toludo, the gas man. And that eventually led to me coming up here. So if I didn't have family, if I didn't have the start of a family then, I probably would never have had any success. And when everything came crashing down, I had somebody to comfort me and somebody to inspire me, like my wife and my children. Those aren't curses. Those things make you better. If you do everything right, if you realize that they love you and you should reciprocate that love, you can't fail. You can never fail. So even if you don't have thousands upon thousands of people screaming your name or cheering you in an arena that will never meet you, at least you have somebody in your life that can tell you that they love you. And so when I see Lily Allen realizing, okay, she can't get everything she wants in this life, that's true. But to blame your kids for that, well, that's all kinds of selfish. I suggest she needs to, you know, reflect a little harder on that. Speaking of aged out pop stars and musicians, I got to check a lot of this in all seriousness. Neil Young is back on Spotify. Oh, no. Actually, I'm kind of glad he's back on Spotify because I do like Old Man. That's a good song, even if he is a pompous ass. But as you recall, last year when Spotify signed Joe Rogan and all that shit happened, and like a few musicians pulled out, but not all musicians, but Neil Young did because he didn't like the misinformation that Joe Rogan was spreading. He decided to put his music back on because Joe Rogan has a bigger contract now and is available on iTunes and other various platforms. You can download Joe Rogan's experience on any platform. He's still getting paid by Spotify. But rather than being a principal musician and boycott all platforms, Neil Young has just said, I guess I'll go back since he's on everybody's now. So what Neil was just doing was virtue signaling. It was never a real protest. If he was committed to it, he would take his music off of every platform. Although, I was against Neil taking his music off to begin with. Because if, when I was talking about this last year, I said, if you are so bothered by Joe Rogan, Neil, just write a Joe Rogan, You're Stupid song. And keep, and then, Joe Rogan can hurl insults at you and you back at him. And it's a rich tapestry of the First Amendment. I love that stuff. But I think that would have been a lot better than just taking your ball and going home. And now he's coming kind of back home covered in mud for some odd reason. So there you go. Neil Young, his protest is over. A worried country, United States and Canada can breathe. He's Canadian after all. Deadspin's dead, and I'm glad. It was announced earlier this week that Deadspin has been sold by, Geo Media? And they run The Onion and various other online platforms. They said that they were not looking to shop this property, but they did. And they sold it to somebody in Europe, and within 30 minutes, all the Deadspin staffers were locked out of their laptops, and I can't think of a better bunch of malcontents to be put out of business. I mean, yeah, even with Vice shutting down a couple weeks ago, Deadspin just being a progressive voice for sports writers, and it's become more apparent that there's no group of people on this planet that hates sports more than a lot of sports writers. I won't say every sports writer, but those of the progressive bent where they have to find everything wrong, every wrong issue in a sport. And this is the same platform who's one of his main editors took a shot at a 9-year-old boy at a Kansas City Chiefs game wearing the face paint and everything. First, he said the kid was wearing blackface, and then he said he was being disrespectful to Native American culture. Then it turned out that this kid has Native American heritage. And I don't think there's ever a formal apology. And so, Geo Media, even though they said they weren't shopping this property, shopped this property. They all get fired, especially when it was rumored that if they haven't already, that the family of the young boy was going to sue this shit-tacular sports platform. It's that's all she wrote. That's libel. And as much of a free speech guy as I am, and I am, to do what they did to this kid was despicable, and to see this platform just go up in smoke is a delight. Don't besmirch any kids on the way to the unemployment office, you hacks. Go to hell, Deadspin. All right, Aaron Rodgers, God. You know, I defended him a little bit against Jimmy Kimmel because, let's face it, Jimmy Kimmel is a hack. He doesn't know how to tell a good joke. And just the media beating him up for some offhand comment. That doesn't mean I support Aaron Rodgers in all of his endeavors. In fact, I do find him to be kind of a weird, flaky kind of guy. He'll be in Canton. He will be a Hall of Famer. He's been a great football player, but he's a bit of a nut. And I guess the New York Jets front office is a little nervous because there's rumor that Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running as third party, he's talking to Aaron Rodgers about being a possible running mate in the upcoming election here this year. Oh, my God. Look, no. As much as I would love there to be a third option in my heart of hearts, it wouldn't be Robert Kennedy, to be honest, because he's a big government guy. As much as I would like there to be a third-party option I would find viable, there's no such thing as a viable third-party option. You either have the old Democrat or the old Republican. That's it. Nothing else will work. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to win in New York. And, you know, he had maybe three plays under his belt before he went down in that first game. And if he really has something to prove, he should prove it on the field this upcoming season. He's 40 years old. It's now or never in terms of his football career. I mean, like I said, he's going to Canton anyway, but if he really wants to prove the naysayers wrong, if he's very passionate about the sport, he should just say, no, I'm sticking with the team, end of story. If he wants to dabble in third-party politics and fail, he can always do that in retirement. So, you know, and you got to think, if you're a Jets fan, that how frustrating this is, because, you know, this is a guy that did great things in Green Bay, and you were kind of hoping that maybe he was just being weird because he was in Green Bay, but it turns out he's being weird because he's Aaron Rodgers. Just hope his agent can talk a little sense into him before he gets into politics, because it would just be obnoxious. Speaking of obnoxious, oh my God. So, there's this this woman in Lebanon, and she's basically a wannabe Kardashian. She dresses to the nines. She wears makeup. It's to the point where she's so gorgeous, it's just, she's ugly. You know, like, I'm not saying, like, she's actually ugly, but she's got so much makeup caked on her, and there's this wall of pretension about her that you just don't want to know this woman. She's on social media, of course, and she finds this young woman from the southern United States. Her name is Hannah, and I gotta link some stuff up on the Mike Davidson podcast page here. This southern girl, Hannah, she has a thick southern accent. She builds houses. She goes noodling, which means she goes right into the river and pulls out big ass catfish, tiny little thing, cute little thing, and she's saying that American women are essentially men. Her accent should be outlawed. Any man that finds her attractive is gay. No, any man that finds this woman commenting about her is probably gay and wants to dress like her. Hannah, she is what we want American women to be like. I mean, if you're going to rag on a stereotype of American women, you rag on the 400-pound woman on the cart at Walmart grabbing five packages of Oreos because she won't learn. You don't go after the woman who's building buildings, who's going out hunting for food, somebody who's taking initiative. A lot of guys would call that hot. You know, taking her out for barbecue would be a lot cheaper than just trying to take this woman from Lebanon out for a cup of coffee. That's what I'm saying. No, there's nothing repugnant about initiative or wanting to improve yourself or wanting to learn a skill. Hannah looks pretty handy, and she's actually as cute as a button. she would be I'm happily married, but even if I was just to hang with one of these two people, I know who I would hang with, and it wouldn't be the Lebanese Kardashian. All right, how about some crazy ass crime? Got a couple of crazy ass crime stories. I actually had this linked up, ready to go. It's actually on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. I wanted to get to it last week, couldn't, or last episode. These people in Ohio are in deep shit because the roommate died, this old guy. And rather than just report it to the authorities, they did a weekend at Bernie's. They put him in the passenger side car, went to the bank, and cleaned out his bank account. This man died in their care, and they took all of his money. What amazes me is they were able to do this without running a nursing home. That's ghoulish, man. Before I got married, you know, I don't regret ever living by myself. I lived with one dude up in Michigan for 7 months. Didn't know him from Adam. I didn't know anybody from that town. I really needed a place to stay, so I stayed in his place. And he was weird. I would hate to think what would have happened if I somehow died and he had access to my funds. This dude lived with two different people, and they did him dirty. Yeah. Maybe it's best just to die alone in a studio apartment and let your landlord figure things out in a couple of weeks. All right, so this, I know we've got a big old crisis on our border, but this is funny as hell. Four Winds, which is just across the border from Indiana up in Michigan. I believe it's a tribal casino. You know, Native Americans run that. An illegal immigrant from Mexico. I have to link this up too. I mean, this story is funny as hell. He somehow tricked an employee at the casino to give him $700,000. Yeah. And not only that, he told the employee to depart the casino and drive to Gary, Indiana, which is kind of a drive from that casino, to hand it off to two unknown individuals. And I'm telling you, if you're a casino employee and someone tells you to drive a large sum of cash to Gary, Indiana, you should be immediately fired for even considering it. That's an immediate no. Gary has kind of a reputation of being rough here in Indiana. I don't know how rough, because I think anybody who's reasonable has long since moved away from Gary. But this story is just amazing. This guy pretended to be a Native American, this illegal Mexican immigrant, and he tricked this casino employee into giving them cash in another state. My God. Where was Deadspin on this one, right? And and finally, in New Orleans, just to show you how rough that city is, the police chief there, they're looking to move their headquarters into a rented building because the police headquarters is in desperate need of renovations, and they said it would cost about $30 million to fix up this old building that the New Orleans Police Department is housed in. They're saying it's so bad that rat droppings are on desks out in the open, and that rats are eating things in the evidence room, including the marijuana. They're saying that the rats inside the police headquarters are high AF. I just hope to God they can stop those rats before, you know, they find the bath salts. It could be as bad as a Haitian cannibal gang. And with all that said and done, I'm done. Until next time, stay fresh.
Cheese. You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @davidsonlives.